to Genesis chapter 1. It'll be easy to find. Genesis chapter 1. In our country, we do recognize the day as a Father's Day. It's important. Fathers are important. Sad to say, in too many places in our country, fathers are kindly out of their place in many places. Irresponsibility, shirking their duties. Turn to Genesis chapter 1, two verses. Two verses. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Think about what that verse is saying to you. God's going to make man in his own image and likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. It's not but two sexes, folks. Don't listen to the news. They got it all kind of confused. Father's image, that's what I'm going to talk with you about today, a little while. Think about, God says, I'm going to make man in my image and my likeness. That's putting mankind high up on the pedestal, isn't it? To be made like God. Yet that was God's plan and design. What is God like? Well, God is good. Have you discovered God is good? He's good to you? God is faithful. Just to tell you a few things about God, he's good. He's faithful. God sends forth the sun every day. He sends forth the rain. God sends forth many blessings every day that we enjoy. We might even take them for granted. But God is good and God is faithful. And, you know, God understands. He's a God of understanding. God knows what you're going through. God knows about your problems, your struggles. God understands. Let that sink into your heart this morning. No matter what you're facing, God understands. It's not foreign to him. And fourthly, God loves you. God is a God of love. The devil don't know what love is, folks. The devil is just the opposite. He's a hater. But God loves you. And the God that made you, that created you, is a God that loves you. You are loved so much that God even let his son die for you. Now that's a lot of love, folks. And especially what kind of death he went through in order to rescue us. So I'm talking about God's image, the Father's image. And I want that to sink into your heart and minds today, what kind of God he is. And then he turned around and made man in his image. What's that saying? We're supposed to be like God. We're supposed to be good. We're supposed to be understanding. We're supposed to be faithful. We're supposed to love. We're supposed to love one another because God loves everybody, no matter who it is. No matter how deep in sin they've gone, God still loves them. Because God knows what sin has did to that person. But God, by His grace, sent His Son to rescue that person if they just turn to Him. Boy, it's awesome, isn't it? The love, mercy, and the grace of God. So, when God made Adam, think of what kind of man would be. Made in the likeness and the image of God. I want you to think about that. That's what man was to be like. We're to be like God, folks. Good. Faithful. Understanding. Loving. That's the kind of man we need today, isn't it? Isn't that the kind of people we need today? Leading our homes. Leading our country. Men that are good, wanting the best for others. That's what God does. God wants the best for you. That's why He gave you this book. God gave you this book so you would get the best life while you're here if you would listen to this book. But if you don't open up this book and live by this book, you're not going to get the best life. You're going to shortchange yourself. Won't it be sad when people wake up in hell, they've shortchanged themselves. They didn't listen to the book. They can't blame nobody else. It was their choice. So we need this kind of man today that's good and faithful and understand and that loves other people like God does. Because God made man in His image, in His likeness. But man is everything but that today, isn't he? What happened? What happened to the original plan of God? For man to be good. And Jesus said, none's good. God's original plan was man was to be good. As God is the ruler of the universe, God was going to allow Adam to be the ruler over the entire earth. Now, you talk about owning a lot of land, Brother Chavis. He was going to rule the whole world. But Adam messed up, didn't he? So Adam, who was made in the image of God in likeness, but in a smaller manner, not to the extent that God was, think of the potential that Adam had. Think of all the good and the great things Adam could accomplish by being made in the image and likeness of God. By listening to his Creator. What a great race of humans made in the image of God there could have been. So if Adam had a followed and obeyed what God told him, instead of what we have today as the human family, with all the sin and degradation and the heartaches and the trouble and the problems, Adam disobeyed God, didn't he? And we don't have what God planned for man. we don't have what God planned for man. We could have had a paradise. It could have been like it will be when Jesus comes and sets up his kingdom over in Jerusalem for 1,000 years, when the curse is lifted and Jesus sits on the throne and rules and reigns. And a little baby, if it dies, will be 100 years old because the curse is lifted. And people will probably live to be 1,000 years old during that time. There'll be no war. It'll be peace. Sickness, disease will be rare. What a time! Adam made in the likeness and the image of God had a great potential given to him. But lo, what happened? Sin came. Sin came. And marred the image of God in man. Man still retains some of the image of God, but it's been marred. Man is not what God intended in the beginning. Sin has touched every single one of us sitting in here, and everyone that's ever lived, it's touched everyone. Today we hear so much about race, race, race. Listen, we are a fallen race of sinners, and that's the reason all the other race problems are around. Everybody trying to think they're better than somebody else. And it's not but one race, and I've said that for years. There's never been but one race, and it's the human race. The devil has brought this other race issue to divide. But God made one race in his image. And he told Adam, don't you eat from that tree. And his sweet little wife come along and said, honey, 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 it's so good. I tried it. And Adam fell down on his responsibility, didn't he? He ate forbidden fruit. And when he disobeyed God just by eating, and I want y'all to think about this. There was trees in the Garden of Eden loaded with fruit, and there weren't but two people to eat it. And they ate one piece. And it's brought about havoc ever since. Because the penalty was, if you disobey God, you'll pay for it. And that same thing is true today. If you do wrong, you'll pay for it. God has a way to make us pay for our disobedience. Nobody gets by with doing wrong. Nobody gets by. You're going to face it sometime, somewhere. Hopefully, God will deal with you in this life and not the next. Because if it's in the next life, it's going to be horrible. Yeah. Now man is not good, Jesus said. Man is not faithful. It's hard to find people that's faithful. Did you know that? You look at the people today that slumber their work, if I might use that term. They take shortcuts. They use bad material. They do it half-heartedly. Whether it's in an office or outside working various type jobs. Man is not what God intended him to be. So listen to me carefully today, folks. The Bible says in Romans 5:12, wherefore is by one man, brought sin into the world, and death by sin. The reason people die they're a sinner. That's the reason people die. The Bible says that it's all appointed that we all will die because we're all sinners. You can't change it. I don't like it. Do you like being a sinner? I don't. I could kick myself sometime if my leg would bend good enough. We're all sinners.
Amen.
But hold on. I got good news later. Adam lost control of the earth. He was to be the ruler of the world. Think about that. A good man. A man that would be faithful and understanding and a man of love. But he lost it. Because Adam sinned and lost control, an evil ruler took over. Now you know who's running this world? The devil. Oh, but God's letting him. God's letting him. You know why God's letting him? God's letting him to see who you're going to choose to follow. You're going to follow a deceiver that'll deceive you out of your soul? A deceiver that'll tell you to live for the things of this world because you won't be here long. You need to enjoy everything you can enjoy. That's what the devil's lie is. Or you can follow Jesus Christ, who gives life, who gives peace, who gives hope, who is with you, who will make a way. And as you live for him, you're laying up treasures in heaven that you'll receive one day. You can't go wrong following Jesus. But you will be wrong not to follow him. You will be wrong. God is allowing Satan this right because man failed God. God has a plan of redeeming man through the sacrifice of his own son. Think about the grace of God that would come up with a plan to rescue this man that rebelled against him. I don't like rebelling people. Do y'all like rebelling people? I could knock them to Jupiter. Amen. But God is not like that, brother. God says, I'm going to love him. I'm going to send my son to rescue him. Boy, isn't God awesome, folks? Aren't you glad God isn't like me? Amen. Think about it. You laugh, but you're the same way, I'll bet. Right? Same way. We're all cut out of the same dirt. God is allowing Satan this right because man failed God. Satan, you can run the world now. Satan is over every nation in the world. That's the reason we got the problems in the world there is today. Satan's the ruler. Him and his evil forces. But God has a plan. Now God has tested man to see who he will obey. Will God believe God and this word? Or will man say, "Who? I don't need God." Let me ask you something today. Do you think you need God? I'll tell you a little secret. Don't y'all tell nobody. Because it's a secret. When you get old like me, you'll find out how much you need God. When your legs start to tremble and buckle, and you can't hardly go, then you realize how important knowing God is and depending on God. While you're young and you think you got the world by the tail, you really hadn't. It's a dangerous time when you're feeling like that to get deceived by the devil. Deceived by the devil. God has made man innocent of sin, but man chose to disobey his Creator. Adam didn't have any sin when he was made. He was not a sinner. He was innocent. Since sin has marred the image of God in man, look at how man lives today. Turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 1. It'd be important that you mark this scripture, because it tells us clearly what's happened to man since Adam disobeyed God, folks. This is important scripture. In Romans 1, beginning at verse 28, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge," people don't want to know about God. They don't want to hear about God. You remember in 2012 at the Democrat convention, they voted to take God out of their convention. And it passed, but only because the moderator overrode what the people wanted. That's the only reason it passed, that they would keep God in it. I tell you, the way they're acting now, he's out. Amen. In fact, they just voted the other day he wouldn't be. When they took a pledge, they wouldn't have to say, "By God, I pledge allegiance to God." God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do the things which are not convenient. God gave man the right to do wrong. You see, God is letting you decide what you want to do. He's gracious. Amen. God's letting you make your own decisions. You're responsible for your decisions. I'm responsible. "Being filled with all unrighteousness and fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy and murder." I can't even read that word. "Debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable, unmerciful." If you read through that and you just think about what's going on in our world today, and that's just the way it is. Just the way it is. Why is it like that? He just told you in the beginning, men didn't want to think about God. Men don't want to be held accountable to God. And when you get away from God, when you listen to me, church, when you separate yourself from God, you don't have time for God, you're going downhill. You're coming downhill, and you're headed for destruction. Because God Almighty made everyone in this room and everywhere in the world. He made them for Himself. To know Him, love Him, serve Him, and spend eternity with Him. But if you make the wrong decision, oh, it's going to be too bad. Too bad, folks. A father who has killed three kids is sentenced to death. It's in the news this week. A nurse killed eight babies and tried to slay nine more. A father raped an eight-month-old daughter, and she dies. 8 months old? A man? A father does that to his own? A Florida man was sentenced to life in prison for his wife's murder that his son witnessed when he was 3 years old. And after about 30 years or so, the little boy remembered his daddy shooting his mama. And now he's been tried and sentenced. Those are just a few examples of what's happened to the human heart. Man's become desperately wicked. That's what sin does. It's did it to the whole human race. I thank God I was raised in a home to go to church. I've been to church all my life, folks. And as I was telling in the Sunday school lesson about this guy last night that was on Huckabee, He had never heard about Jesus. He was in his middle, later teens. Never heard about Jesus. And it was in all kind of problems with street gangs and evil and wickedness, and got in trouble with the law, got locked up. Locked up! And some Baptist lady went to where he was locked up and began talking to him about Jesus. And for a year and a half, he didn't want to hear it, but she kept going. And finally one day, in that old jail cell, he got to know the Lord, and it changed his life. And somehow he got out of prison. I don't know how that worked. Only God knows how to do stuff like that. But it's bad to live in America and not know about Jesus, even from you up into your teens. You know what? I guess that's just one case. Why? Because fathers are not telling their children about the Lord. They're not bringing them to church to learn about the Lord. The Lord is not talked about in the homes. And fathers, you fathers, God's holding you and I accountable for our children knowing about Jesus Christ. You're going to be held accountable if they die without a knowledge of Jesus Christ because you did not teach them. Serious thing to be a father. Today in our society, you wouldn't think it's a serious thing the way a lot of fathers are living. They're going to get a rude awakening. A rude awakening. What's happened to fathers? Where is the love of God? I know how I felt when my children were born. I won't ever forget how I felt when my first child was born, my son. You know what? The first thing I noticed when he was born at 3:20 on a Friday, I felt like a heavy weight just come down on me. I'm responsible for a young'un. And I felt little. A few years later, another little jewel come to our house. I used to walk around and hold her in my hand like this. She needs to lose weight today, though, don't she? Amen. Amen. She didn't hear me. But anyway, folks, listen. Responsibility when you have children is put upon you, fathers, to take care of those children, to raise them up for the Lord. The Bible's clear about this. You're supposed to teach your children about the Lord. Their souls is precious. They need the Word of God and the love of God and to understand there's a Savior that will save them because that little thing right there is a sinner. A month old or so, a sinner. If you don't believe it, don't give it some milk a little while. You'll know it's a sinner. We're born sinners. You can't change it. But God can. I got some news for you. I didn't plan to say this, but I'll insert it right now. If you trusted Jesus as your Savior, God's not looking at you as a sinner no more. You're a saint. And you didn't have to be in a Catholic church to be a saint. God makes you a saint when you get saved. He's going to deal with you as saints. After you've been saved. Until you get saved, he's dealing with you as a sinner. Isn't God good? Isn't God good, folks? The Bible tells us in Colossians 1:15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? Talking about Jesus is the image of God. When Jesus Christ was walking on the earth, that was God. Don't you know that was something to see God walking about in a body? Folks, that's the most awesome thing. Think about that generation of people that got to see God Almighty walking around in a body. Healing. Feeding. Doing all kind of miraculous things. Because he was God. And Jesus said to Philip, "He that seen me has seen the Father." Boy, that gets even deeper, doesn't it? Wow. One day I'm going to get to see him. Yeah. Amen. One day I'm going to get to see him. Yeah. And we won't ever be separated. Amen. Praise the Lord. After 4,000 years of sin destroying man, God sent his only son into the world. 4,000 years it went by since Adam. Look at the destruction. The Noah's flood that destroyed it all but Noah and his family. Millions of people destroyed by flood of Noah's day. Then look after that, all the sin and destruction after that. And then 4,000 years, God sent his son. Sent his son on a rescue mission. Because you're so loved. Do you understand how much you're loved? You might be sitting here this morning and say, "Nobody don't love me too much." God does. That's the one that counts. God loves you more than words in English will describe. My church folks. Yes, God sent Jesus to save us and give us life not only in the here and now, but for eternity. God gives us life now. He gives us our life. If you're here today, it's because God brought you here into this world. God's got a plan for you in this world. You're not here by an accident. You're here because God wanted you here. He's got a plan for you here, and he's going to want you to trust his son so you can go live with him there. Amen? Yeah. Notice this about God's son. He is the image of the invisible God. If you were to see God Almighty in heaven, you'd see Jesus. That's who Jesus is, God. He's not only like God, but he is God. And the Apostle John tells us, and I personally think this is one of the most amazing things possible, that Jesus is actually Almighty God himself, the one that spoke and made everything out of nothing. And God is actually bigger than the universe. He's a big God, amen? Wow, what a God. He's bigger than the universe. And you can't go anywhere but what he's waiting on you when you get there. Amen. Yeah. God became a man to live like us. Jesus knows what it is to be hungry and thirsty and tired and weary. Jesus knows what it is to lose a friend. Jesus knows about the struggles of this life. He was a human just like us. No different from us other than he had no sin. In every other respect, he was just like every one of us in this room today. He even experienced pain. Boy, his pain was like no other pain. But not only physical and emotionally, but he felt the wrath of God fall on him. Great day in the morning, what my Lord went through for me. Amen. For me. And for you. And for all that will believe in him. That's all he asked you to do. He don't ask you to do anything else but believe in him. Put your trust, your confidence in him. He'll change your life. He gives life. In the beginning was the Word. and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Boy, that's a mouthful, wasn't it? Yeah. So the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word of God in eternity, who was God, was made flesh and dwelt among men for about 33 and a half years. What did Jesus do? He went about doing good. He went about preaching about the kingdom, about what God's great plan was for man that would believe in Him. John the Apostle said, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that not even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." The things that Jesus Christ did in His earthly life, oh, the books it would take to note the things He did as He walked among men. Things that was good. When a sinner is saved, they become a new person. Are you saved? Did you know now you're a new person? You're a new creation? Colossians 3:10, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him." Did you hear what he just said? Let me read that again. "Which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of Him that created him." We've been created in His image now. As a new people, we have a new life. When you got saved, did you notice a change in your life? Did something happen to your thinking? Did former things begin to trouble you that you were doing? Have you found that through the years, as you hear the Word of God, as you read the Word of God, as you're around fellow Christian people, have you found you're getting rid of this? You're getting rid of that? You're starting to do this? You're starting to do that? Because you're growing? Do you find yourself growing, folks? Do you find yourself growing, learning, becoming more like the Redeemer? It's a growing process. And we start off as babes in the Lord. We start off like that little babe back there as a Christian. We don't start off full grown. We have to grow. It's a growing process. And we need the milk and the meat of the Word to grow in Christ. That's why church attendance is important. That's why prayer time in your life is important. That's why the Bible in your life is important. It's why being around Christian people is important. So you can grow and grow. You're not. When I first got saved at age 14, you know what? One of the first thoughts I guess the devil gave to me. Now that you're being saved, I don't have to go to church no more. Amen. That was me. I've been saved. I don't have to go to church anymore. I'm saved now. Boy, have I had a lot to learn. But I've gone to church all my life. I went to church when I was in service. Went to chapel, they call that church. Weren't much to it. But I was there. Gone to church all my life. I've walked, rode the mule and wagon, pushed the car, rode in the car. I've gone to church. When I'm sick, can't go, something's wrong with me. I'm missing something. You can't go to church too much, church folks. You need more than one service, 30 minutes. Amen. You can't go to church too much. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, Paul wrote, he's a new creature or a new creation. You've been saved, you're a new person now. You're no longer condemned. Amen? You're no longer condemned. You've been accepted by God as one of His children to go live with Him one day. Woo! Praise God! Praise God! I'm going to live in heaven one day and I know it. You know it? Yeah, I'm going to live in heaven and I know it. All things are passed away. I'm no longer condemned. There's no more sin going to be brought up when I stand at the judgment. God's Son paid for all my sin. All your sin. We're going to face how faithful I've served Him since He saved me. How much did you go to church? How much did you read your Bible? How did you live your life and treat your neighbor? That's what's coming up at the judgment. To see if you earn any rewards. I'll pick it, Mr. Chavis. Mr. Chavis has been such a friend to me since I got to know him. I used to say he'd need a wheelbar to hold all his rewards when we gets to the judgment. But over the years, I've come to find out he needs a dump truck, looks like, because he's just such a blessing to me. Folks, how you live your life will determine what you get when you get to heaven. The Lord's not going to just dish it out to you just because it's you. No, you got to send it on. You got to send it on. He said, lay up for yourselves. And if you just sit back, I'm a do-nothing Christian. I just believe, but I ain't going to do nothing. Well, when you get there, you won't have nothing. I'll just be plain. We can only be like Jesus by being born again. That's our first step, becoming like the Lord. We're supposed to grow like the Lord and be in the Lord. The Bible says, for by one offering He has perfected forever them that are sanctified. When you got saved, you were made perfect in Christ. You're a new person. That's the reason these people that teach you can lose your salvation is as ignorant as the devil. You can't lose your salvation. Not if you have it. It's eternal. He says, I give you eternal life. And the Bible says we're being kept by the power of God. I'm not being going to make it to heaven because I did good or I did not do good. I'm going to heaven because I've been born again. We've been accepted by God the Father as one of His dear children. I'm a child of God today by His grace. Now we're to begin to live like Jesus, our example. Think about it. Because I'm fixed to give you a scripture that'll make you think about it before we close. We're to imitate Jesus. It's a learning process. And I've got so much to learn. And I've been in this book for 50-something years. And it's scary how little I know. And yet I see people, they don't care whether they go to church or not. God, people are going to get surprised one day. Surprised. We're to imitate Him. Yes, we'll fail time and time again. We're not perfect in the flesh. We've been perfected with our salvation. And with the new man, I'm a perfected believer. That won't be lost. But as in the flesh, even the Apostle Paul struggled with that. When I do good, evil is present, Paul said. I know that to be true. But we're to ask for forgiveness when we fail the Lord. And then we're to get up and start living like we're supposed to live. We might go down the road two steps and fall again. Hey, but that don't mean you give up and throw up and quit. Please turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4. We're coming to the close of our thoughts as we think about the image of the Father. We're supposed to be becoming like the Lord because we've been made in the image of the Father, folks. Image of the Father. In Ephesians chapter 4, it's familiar. It's a long scripture because I want to see the things that we've got to overcome as believers, the things that we face. In Ephesians 4, and look down at verse 21, if so be that he, that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. In other words, quit cussing. Quit lying. Quit being unfaithful. Don't be a hateful person. Start loving. That's what he's saying. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Remember who you are. You've been saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to live for the Lord. That's what he's saying. And that ye put on the new man. Start living like Jesus, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore put away lying. See there? He's talking, hey, listen to me, church. He's talking to the Christians. He's talking to the believers at the church in Ephesus. He's telling them this, and I'm reading it to you. I'm sharing it with you. What we got to do like them, he said, put away lying and speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. Be ye angry and sin not. We should hate sin. We ought to get mad at sin. But don't sin. Don't sin. Don't get so angry you sin. Amen. That's my problem. I get so mad at them sometimes. I can knock them to Jupiter. Let him that stole steal no more. Well, let me go back. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hand. Oh, that's a bad verse there, isn't it? People talking about having to work. Boy, we got so many people today that don't think they need to work or won't work. And Paul said in the Word of God, if you don't work, don't eat. If you don't work, don't eat. That's the Word of God. It's not what I said. You're supposed to work. God gave Adam a job when he put him in the garden. Garden, I want you to keep that garden trimmed. God put us here to work, to serve him. This ain't no vacation land. Hey, listen. He said, working with his hands the things which is good, that it may be, he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed. Listen to this. See, this is reason you can't lose your salvation if you're saved. Your seal. He's telling you, you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. When's the day of redemption, preacher? The rapture. When you get your new body, That's the day of redemption. Our old body has not been redeemed. Our soul has already been redeemed. Let all bitterness. Are you got bitterness in you? He says, don't have no bitterness. And wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another. Are we kind to one another? Or do we want to bite somebody's head off? Be kind to one another. You're my brother. You're my sister. I might be having a bad day. Be kind. Tenderhearted. Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake had forgiven you. Man, what a... Hey, folks, that was written to Christian people. You go home today, you get your Bible down after you've had a nice lunch and read that and meditate on that scripture. What he said to us, Christian people, how to live. You know what that says? If we would live like this, we would be like Jesus. We would be like Jesus, growing, maturing. This is a passage we need to read over and over and think about what it said. Christians are not perfect, but we are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. We should not only be the same believers, we should not be the same believers we were a year ago. We need to be growing in the Lord, knowing His Word, and also become more like Him. And what a challenge we have. As fathers, we have a great responsibility. And as Christians, to live a spiritual life before our families and all other people as well. Remember, God said, I'm going to make man in my image, after my likeness. And remember what God is like. That's who we're to be like. And it's growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. And one last comment and I'll close. The devil's going to make it hard. Because when he sees you committed to loving the Lord and serving the Lord and supporting the work of the Lord, the devil's going to try to come along and discourage you, to get you off track. And so you better wise up. Because if you're committed to serving the Lord, the devil knows it and he ain't going to like it. You just have to determine who you're going to serve. You're going to serve the one that's going to take you to heaven, or the one that wants to deceive you out of all your rewards? And that's what he's doing with a lot of Christians. Loving God, thank you for the time. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for letting me stand here and share with our brothers and sisters today, Lord. Take our efforts, Lord, by the Spirit of God. Teach, reveal, challenge, and make us all a better people, loving you, loving one another, because you said in the beginning you were going to make man in your likeness and in your image, and sin has marred it. But we've been restored in Jesus Christ to love and serve you and one day live in your presence. Bless each and everyone here today, and I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. And our altar is open today. You never trusted Christ as your Savior. Today's the day of salvation, the Bible says. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and thou shalt be saved. Maybe you want to come this morning and recommit yourself to the Lord. Say, Lord, I just haven't been living like I ought to be living. Well, why don't you come and commit yourself to the Lord?